Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views and the views of our guests. And, of course, we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. And, Will, we were supposed to have had Jimmy Walter on the program today to talk about 9/11, but we haven't been able to reach him, so I guess it's going to be you and me, and I hope my producer will take the flashing red distracting picture down off the off my television screen here. So, but if you'd like to give us a call, our number 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295, because we really don't have anything really planned to talk about. So maybe we could, we'll talk about Iraq, or we'll talk about whatever you'd like to. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Now, I wonder how many of you have taken the time to get the president's speech, the one that he gave a couple of days ago, where, of course, he was really answering the speech that had been given on the floor of the House of Representatives by Congressman Murtha, who talked about why he was changing his position. Congressman Murtha had fought in Vietnam. Congressman Murtha had actually retired as a Marine Corps colonel. He had been wounded twice in Vietnam. He had the Distinguished Medal for Gallantry by the Vietnamese and the Navy Distinguished Service Cross. I mean, he was truly a great war hero. He's actually been in Congress for some 31 years. He's a pro-life a Democrat. Really, in many respects, very, very conservative in some respects and liberal in others, but he had supported the war, contrary to what most of the Democrats had done. He had supported the attack on Afghanistan because the president had promised to capture Osama bin Laden, dead or alive, and justified the attack on Afghanistan because of what had happened on September 11th. And then after the Afghan war was under control, and the Taliban had been largely defeated, why Congressman Murtha supported President Bush when he wanted to attack Iraq, because the president insisted that Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction. He was working with al-Qaeda. He was a threat to the United States, and we had to defeat him. And so Congressman Murtha bucked many of the people within the Democrat Party and supported the president. But as the congressman went to the hospitals, Bethesda and Walter Reed Hospital, and saw the crippled young men there without arms and legs or blinded, and he saw the casualty count increasing, over 2,000 dead, over 15,500 servicemen seriously injured, and many of these, of course, will never be the same again. And as he pointed out, at least 50,000 of them, as of the present time, will have what's known as battle fatigue, or call it what you will. These people who have permanent psychological problems after battle. He began to really wonder whether the war was worth fighting. And then, of course, he had read a report put out by the Defense Department when he found out that instead of the number of terrorist attacks decreasing, it was actually increasing from 150 a week up to 700 a week. And yet the Bush administration is saying we're winning the war. He found out that the 60% of the people that were unemployed, there was no fresh water. 80% of the Iraqi people wanted us to leave, and 45% of the Iraqi people felt the attacks on the Americans were justified. And at that point, why, of course, he changed his position. It takes a lot of courage on the part of a congressman to change your position and switch from one side to another. But John Murtha was a Marine, and he did what he thought was right. Well, we'll welcome your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295, and we'll be back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. And we're supposed to have Johnny Walter with it this afternoon, but Johnny Walter, can't seem to get hold of him. We were going to talk about what really happened on September 11th. You probably think you know what happened, but do you know who was in charge of security in the North Tower? It was a man named Marvin Bush, the president's brother. What do you think the chances are that that could have just happened by accident? And then, what are the chances that you think that two of the passports could have actually survived the fiery crash? One of the crash in the North Tower, and the other the crash in Pennsylvania. What are the chances are? Maybe one in a million, one in a billion, one in a trillion. And what are the chances are that that the building number 7 would have collapsed the way that it did? It looked just like there were explosives planted all around the base. Now, there's never been an instance in all recorded history where, you know, a steel-reinforced building caught on fire and has collapsed. And yet both of the North Tower and the South Tower did that. But let's forget about the two towers. Let's talk about building number 7. The firemen were pulled out of the building and told, the building is going to come down. The firemen didn't know it was going to come down, but the people who pulled them out told them it was going to come down, and sure enough, the firemen no sooner got out of that building than all around the base of the building, it exploded and came down. Now, why would the whole base of that building explode if there were not already explosives placed there? People who destroy buildings know how to do it. You want to, of course, you don't want them to topple to one side. You want them to collapse in their own shadow, and that's exactly what happened. There's a Professor Jones at Brigham Young University. He's a professor of engineering who came out about three or four weeks ago and said there had to be explosives in those buildings to bring them down. And immediately, Brigham Young University got calls from the government, said, we're giving him money. You better silence that professor. And so Professor Jones was called in and said, it doesn't matter what science says. It doesn't matter what you think. You will no longer be allowed to go onto television or radio and say that there were explosives in those buildings. Doesn't that make you feel good to realize that the government goes around and threatens universities to silence professors? Now, maybe he's right, maybe he's wrong. But shouldn't we hear all sides discussed in America? Or think of the implications. If they really took down those buildings, 3,000 Americans died. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and our regularly scheduled guest didn't show up, and so why we're going to have open lines. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. And right now we've got Steve calling us from Orange County. Hi, Steve. How are you doing?
Oh, fine. Merry Christmas.
And to you, too.
Well, I listened to most of the president's news conference. Some of his speech.
Now, you're talking about the speech that he gave 2 days ago. You're speaking about the press conference
night,
after that.
Sunday night.
All right, fine. Go ahead.
And his press conference. And, boy, he's just pandering to those of us who... He was pandering, really, to those of us who didn't vote for him.
Well, basically, he says, and justifiably so, we have two alternatives. We either can stay there and continue fighting, or we can pull out.
That's right.
We have two options, victory, defeat, but it's really not that. I mean, after all, do you really think our boys are coming home if we have victory there? I mean, we've won the war in Europe in 1945, and our troops are still stationed
in
Europe.
That's right. I mean,
we won the war in Japan in 1945, and our troops are still stationed.
Right.
Does anybody really think the troops are going to come home if we had the war and we've won it in the Middle East?
No, I don't think so. I mean, this is the third year in a row that their kids, 17 and 18 years old, who, because of a lie, are spending their first Christmas away from home, and some may never have really been that away from home that much in their lives up to then. I mean, it's the way it's always been, all the wars of the last century.
Well, I think that people really need to understand that every one of the wars has been contrived.
That's right.
I mean, the Spanish-American War was contrived. How many American casualties? We have about 5,000. How many people died on the other side? Between 200,000 and 1 million Filipinos were slaughtered by the American forces after we went over there to bring them freedom. We don't know how many, but at least 200,000, and some people say as many as 1 million. And why were they killed? Because they didn't want the Americans to occupy their country. They had objected to the Spanish, and we went in to liberate them, and when we liberated them, we didn't leave.
That's right.
And, of course, then, of course, we got into the First World War. We had no business getting to the First World War. The only thing we did was prolong that war for another 12 bloody months, when another, actually was almost 18 months. I think we went in April, and the war ended in November the following year. But all we did was, of course, ensure the death of another 4 or 5 million people. 20 million people died in that senseless war that was created. It was really started out with a very minor incident, and then, of course, it kept getting larger and larger and larger until 21 million people had died, another 40 million casualties. And, of course, the American people don't understand. It was all contrived. We were told, oh, this was the war to end all wars.
Yeah.
This was the war to make the world safe for democracy. It was almost as if, as our president had read the script and was repeating it over in the Middle East to bring democracy. Well, that was what the First War was all about, to make the world safe for democracy. And we got democracy. We got democracy in Germany, and we ended up with Adolf Hitler. We got democracy in Italy, and we ended up with
Mussolini.
And we got, of course, a revolution going in Russia, and we ended up with Lenin and Stalin, and we got a revolution in Turkey, and we destroyed that country, and we got Ataturk there. So people don't understand that the First World War was actually waged to bring about a world government, and when that failed, when the League of Nations failed, then they had to have an excuse for another war. And it was at that point that American corporations began building up Adolf Hitler. And anybody would like to see the letter I found among Colonel House's papers back at the Sterling Library at Yale, where Ambassador Dodd is writing to, he's the American ambassador to Germany in 1936. He's writing to Colonel House, and he's saying, why are American corporations building up the German army? I mean, there are 100 American corporations here. They're all contributing to the German war effort. Nobody wants another war in Europe here. We just got through this first war, and now and the American corporations can't get any money. Why are they doing it? Well, of course, the reason they were doing it was because they were part of this occult hierarchy that wanted World War II. And if you haven't read that wonderful book, Wall Street and the Rise of Hitler, which we carry, and there are many other books that go into the background of how it was American corporations that financed Adolf Hitler, the best enemy American money could buy. And the book Trading with the Enemy by Hingham shows that we actually, American corporations, were financing Hitler during the Second World War. In fact, a man named Prescott Bush, the president's grandfather, was indicted, along with his firm, Harriman Brothers, I think it was Brown Brothers Harriman, for acting as a conduit for Nazi funds during the Second World War. But the average American has never heard of that. He honestly thinks that, of course, we had to defeat Adolf Hitler. He was actually financed from the time he was in the beer halls of Bavaria up until, of course, the Second World War, and encouraged at every step by a group in England known as the Round Table, and that's all covered in Professor Quigley's wonderful book, Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time. And the tragedy is that, well, that most people have never read the book because somebody came along and bought up the publisher, Macmillan, and destroyed the place in the first half of the book so it could never be reprinted, because the last thing they want is for the American people to realize who really backed Adolf Hitler and encouraged him at every turn. And, of course, that what Professor Quigley finally tells you, and that is that this whole idea that it was the communists who were responsible for turning Eastern Europe over to the communists in our government were responsible for turning Eastern Europe over to the Russian communists at the end of the Second World War, and China over to the communists at the end of the Second World War. It wasn't because the communists in our government, as Joe McCarthy believed, it was because our government was controlled by people who were affiliated with a secret society that had been created by Cecil Rhodes. And so they bought up the plates They destroy the place to the first half of Professor Quigley's book, Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in My Time. And if any of our listeners doubt that, we have an interview with Professor Quigley, not one I did, but one that was done while he was still living, and I bought the rights to it from the professor's widow, and we have that in our secret government four-tape set. They intentionally, destroyed the place to the first half of Professor Quigley's book because they could not let the world understand that everything was a charade, everything was a lie. Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, I mean, all the wars of the century, there was these rashes of star high school and college athletes coming back in a body bag or incapacitated,
right.
17, 18-year-old kids. Leaving. Some may be never been away from home much in their lives, and they never come back.
Well, I think we have to understand how this applies to what's going on in Iraq today.
Yes.
Do you remember when the president landed, or at least he was in a plane that landed on an aircraft carrier, and he announced that we had won the war in Iraq?
Yes, I do.
I mean, talk about a publicity stunt. He didn't land that plane. He may have had on flight guard, but he didn't land the plane. He may have even been sitting next to the pilot, but he didn't land the plane.
That's right.
It was all for the visual perception on the part of the American people that our commander-in-chief landed that plane and announced we had won the war. Well, of course, what had happened was that we had sent Paul Bremer over there, who come from Kissinger and Associates, who was part of this occult hierarchy that rules the world, in my estimation. And Paul Bremer, instead of doing what the American military leaders had suggested, and that is leaving the Iraqi army intact, and leaving the Iraqi police force intact, and leaving the Iraqi civil service intact, so we have a structure of a society, and then they could bring law and order and hold their elections, they dissolved the Iraqi army. They dissolved the Iraqi police force. They dissolved the Iraqi civil service, and then suddenly they have total chaos.
Yeah.
And you've got 400,000 unemployed Iraqi soldiers who don't like America anyway, and they have no means of making a living. Even today, there's 60% unemployment. What are you going to do to feed your family? Well, one thing you can do, if you blow yourself up killing Americans, why, you'll get a nice reward from the Palestine Liberation Organization for killing yourself. And who's funding the Palestine Liberation
Organization?
We are. And the same thing is true. You may get your money from Saudi Arabia. And who's funding Saudi Arabia?
We are.
Or, you may be a terrorist who was trained over there in Pakistan. And who's funding Pakistan? That has all sorts of terrorist training camps. When are the American people going to recognize it's Vietnam all over again, where we funded the Russians, who funded the North Vietnamese so they could kill our boys? We're not trying to win the war in Iraq, and we will not try to win the war in Iraq. This is a stepping stone to bringing about, in my estimation, World War III. And I think, Steve, we are very, very close to that. I mean, the people in Israel today, and I'm not a prophet. All I know is what I get from very, very smart people and people who are associated with the powers that be, the people who really rule America, and they're talking about the coming war with Iran. And the people in Israel believe that if by March Iran is not renounced, it's a right to build nuclear weapons, that Israel will launch an attack, and if they do, it will, of course, draw America in with the rest of the world aligned against us. This is my fear.
Oh, I fear that, too. And then what's going to happen to us?
Well, of course, nobody ever stops and wonders what would happen if we did have World War III and it was a nuclear war. Whose side do you think China would be on? Whose side do you think Russia would be on? Whose side would most of the rest of the countries be on? Are we really popular and loved throughout the world?
No, we're not.
Or we're hated throughout the world? And it
wouldn't
a
be
direct,
on our side.
Right. It is a direct result of our interfering with the lives of people throughout the world.
Yep, it'd be a lonely side. But then, of course, hopefully, we'd go and be with the Lord.
Well, that may very well happen, but in case you're not, you've got to start making preparations, and our job is to educate the American people about the dark spiritual forces which are behind everything going on today. Because, of course, if you read Bible prophecy, you hear about this coming war, and where is it going to begin? Got to begin in the Middle East. Read Ezekiel 38 and 39 and understand that are all of these things prophesied? Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or 464-8295. And thanks so much for calling, Steve.
You bet. Merry Christmas.
And you too. Bye-bye. Another of our fascinating four tape sets is entitled Concentration Camps, and it's four interviews with people talking about the move to establish concentration camps in the United States. Now, most people say that's foolish talk. We couldn't have that. And yet, if you listen to these tapes, you'll find out that those camps are a reality. They are being set up in case of civil disturbance. And, of course, the authority for the establishment of the concentration camps comes from the executive orders, which were actually put through during the time of the Reagan administration. For documentation of the location and the background to the formation of these camps, their establishment, and what may very well happen or what they may be used for in the future, I suggest you call our 800 number, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for America. Our values, our future are under attack today.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. In November of 1991, the 60 Minutes television show first reported on the French paradox. The fact the French violate every dietary rule for good health, eat a diet rich in fats and calories, and yet exhibit far better cardiovascular health than North Americans. Over a decade later, we know that molecules called polyphenols are responsible for the health benefits in red wine. But those molecules only remain stable in a sealed bottle of red wine. Longevinix is the first dietary supplement to stabilize red wine molecules in a sealed capsule, just like a corked bottle of red wine, providing red wine polyphenols without the calories, alcohol, and sulfite preservatives. One Longevinix capsule is equivalent in polyphenols to drinking 5 glasses of red wine. Call 866-405-4000 today to order Longevinix. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Thierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done. Get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295, and our regularly scheduled guest didn't show up, so it's just going to be you and me. Those of you who subscribe to our regular newsletter will be getting, probably by the end of next week, a copy of my my November newsletter. We're a little delayed because we've had some trouble with our copying machine, but hopefully we've got it printed and we've got it fixed and things are going to be going well. But it goes into deja vu in Iraq. And it has the basic theme built around a speech that was given by Congressman John Murtha. It was the 17th of November. And we include the entire speech there. We want to hear you to hear what he had to say. Congressman Murtha had, of course, led the battle to support the president within the Democratic Party in Congress. And then, of course, he changed his position and felt that we ought to get out. Well, you can imagine what happened. The truth of the matter is, the leaders of the Democrat Party want us to stay. The leaders of the Republican Party want us to stay. But, of course, the Democrats have to sort of pretend that they want to get out so that you'll get the idea that there's a real choice. But there really isn't. The plan is that we are going to stay in Iraq and the war is going to expand. How do I know that? Why, very simply, because I read what the people who are making the decisions, working behind the scenes, have said. We actually have on video the interview that William Crystal had with Ted Koppel back in early 2003, before the attack. Now, William Crystal is one of the major movers and shakers behind the scenes. He leads the neocon movement. He is the son of Irving Crystal, who at one time was a Trotskyite, who worked for a magazine that was a communist, was controlled by the CIA. And according to Irving Crystal, he didn't even know the magazine he was working for. I think he was the editor, assistant editor. You know, was actually a CIA front. Oh, my goodness, he just wasn't very smart, was he? Well, William Crystal, his son, he actually is the editor of the Weekly Standard, which, of course, is a front for the Fox Media Network, of course, which is part of the, in my opinion, part of the hierarchy. And William Crystal was the leader or the director of the Project for the New American Century, a group of neoconservatives who control our government today. And who are they? Why, they're Dick Cheney, Donald Rumsfeld, Paul Wolfowitz, the current ambassador to Iraq, the American ambassador, John Bolton, American ambassador to the United Nations. And if you want to get to verify what I'm saying, you go to their website, newamericancentury.org. That's newamericancentury.org. Pull down their initial statement, which was their statement of principles in 1997, and then their letters to President Clinton in 1998 and year 2000, calling for a war with Iraq. I mean, they were calling for it long before 9/11. They just needed an excuse. We were going to war with Iraq. It wasn't very convenient that we had an attack on September 11th. That gave them the justification to go to war with Iraq. Well, not really, because, of course, Iraq didn't attack us, and Saddam Hussein wasn't a threat to us, so they had to come talk about his weapons of mass destruction. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you something. Saddam Hussein really did have weapons of mass destruction. How do I know that? Well, number one, the American government had given them the material to build the weapons of mass destruction. We had sold them the biological and chemical components, and we'd given them $5 billion so we could build them, and, of course, so we could continue to enslave his people. Any of you who would like that verified, you give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And we'll send you a copy of an article out of the Washington Post entitled "When an Ally Becomes an Enemy," and it covers it very well. We have it covered in many other sources, but this one article says it all, and if you want other documentation, we'll be glad to get it for you. Covered in many books and many stories, but you see, we never talk about that in America, how we backed Saddam Hussein. We backed him after he used the poison gas that he'd built with American technology. After he used it on the Kurds and killed all those tragic people. I've talked to a man from Special Forces who was over there to help Saddam as they used the poison gas on the Iranians. We backed him every step of the way. He had weapons of mass destruction. So what happens to the weapons of mass destruction? Why, he moved them to Syria. We know that from a number of sources. We know that Avi Lifkin, who certainly was with the Israeli military for years, Joel Skousen was with military intelligence, Dory Gold, who was the he was the Israeli ambassador to the United Nations on this very program when I interviewed him, and I asked him about it. He agreed, yes, everybody over there knows that the weapons were moved to Syria. Weapons of mass destruction, you'll find this on Google. Why don't the American people know that? Because you're not supposed to know it, ladies and gentlemen.
really help you to understand the nature of the spiritual battle in which we're currently involved is Gary Kaw's book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism. Now, you may remember Gary Kaw's book, A Route to Global Occupation. His second book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism, goes into the very real spiritual forces, the dark and sinister spiritual forces, which have energized those people who are molding the world in which we live today. Going into the background of Masonry, Theosophy, and he actually quotes extensively from the writings of these people who have helped to mold the events of the 20th century. The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Kaw will give you tremendous insight into the background of what's happening in America today. And unless you understand the spiritual forces at work, you really can't understand the unfolding of events. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Kaw.
Leading edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high quality cosmetic and restorative treatment. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. interesting.